Okay, welcome back. This is module 12, the last module in this online course on how to get a job in ocean conservation. Congratulations, you've made it. You've made it to the last module. I'm very proud of you. A lot of people, when they look at these online courses, they don't actually finish all the modules, and there are a lot. There are 12 of them. And it, you know, takes a while. It takes a lot of dedication to go through this, but I'm proud of you because you've made that commitment to actually go through all the modules and make yourself better, and make your skills better. You've gotten tips on how to make your CV better, your resume, your networking skills, and so forth. Now you're going to go through module 12, which is the interview. And if you get to an interview on a job, it's important. Once people get to an interview, they kind of try and just fly by the seat of their pants through an interview process. And you know, it's still one of the most important steps to go through the whole job application process and getting a job. So we are going to go through the interview. I might talk a little longer. I apologize for that, but please, you know, when you go through all these modules, don't just go through them once. Go through them more than once. Take your time with them. Copy down some notes. You can always download the PowerPoints so that you can view them on your computer after. You don't have to be online to watch all these. I'm giving you them. It's part of your package. So take care in looking at them more than once. Even listen to the audio if you have to on your iPhone or your smartphone or whatever you decide to do. But listen to them more than once and try and get as much information as possible, because I am putting a lot of information into these things. So anyway, this is the interview module. It's the last module. Let's get into it. Here's what you're going to learn. You're going to learn what the purpose of the interview is, you know, why you're actually doing an interview. You're going to learn how to prepare for the interview for multiple ways, multiple interviews. And then, of course, you're going to learn the different interview formats, especially now managers are becoming more creative. And you're going to learn how to behave in an interview. And then finally, you're going to learn how to follow up after the interview. Okay, that's a very important step that a lot of people don't do. They just do the interview and hope for the best. But you have to kind of do that extra effort just to find out. So here we go. What is the purpose of the interview? And it's really for, you know, to see what managers want. Managers want certain things from a candidate, and they want to look at certain things from a candidate. So we're going to go through them here, and we're going to talk about them a little bit. So they want to get to know your personality. They want to know if you're laid back. They want to know if you're uptight. They want to know if you're organized or unorganized. You know, they want to know these certain things from your personality, and they get that just from the regular chit-chat conversation that they have, even from the beginning of the time that you first meet that first contact person or that first manager. You are on point. You are being evaluated on your personality and other things. But personality is a big thing, because they want to know if you're going to be a good fit for their company, their organization, or their government department. You got to gel well with the other employees, and they're evaluating you on how well your personality will fit into the organization or company or whatever. You know, they want to find out how you manage pressure. So they're going to bombard you with questions, some hard to answer questions, some put on your spot questions. They want to see how you can manage that kind of thing. And we're going to go through that and how to handle that. They want to see if you have communication skills. You know, you always see on job advertisements that, you know, we want somebody who can communicate well. Well, how do they evaluate that? Nobody really knows. It really depends. You know, it's very subjective. It really depends on the manager or the panel of managers. But they want to make sure that you can effectively communicate your point of view to another person, okay, or a technical point to another person. You have to be able to do it in a clear and precise manner, which requires some practice, but we're going to get into that kind of thing. Then, of course, they want to find out if you're actually going to benefit the company, the organization, or the government department. Okay, they want to make sure that you, as a person, as an employee that may come into the organization, they want to make sure that your skills, your unique communication skills, how you manage pressure, you know, your personality, how well you fit into the group, they want to make sure that all that will benefit you know, the organization, the company, their government. Now, again, this is a quite subjective. You might have great communication skills. You might be able to manage pressure very well. You might be, you know, your personality might be very good. It could be a sort of a laid-back personality where you get along with everybody, but they may still think you're not a good fit because you might be pushed into a group with a lot of uptight people. And they may want another uptight person. Who knows? You don't know. It all depends on the manager. But they are going to evaluate you on these 5 points, and that is the purpose of an interview. Now let's look at how to prepare for an interview. So essentially, there are two types of, you know, interviews. There's the phone or the in-person interview. So first, we're going to go through the phone interview, and the reason why we're going to go through the phone interview is because the phone interview is usually the first interview you have. You know, the first interview is sort of still a screening process. You know, you have your application process where you actually fill out your resume or your CV and all the other, you know, supplemental information, and then you send it in. That's the first screening process. The first interview is, again, another screening process where they actually speak to you one-on-one and you answer certain questions. But lately, the phone interview is not the only thing that you're going to be doing. It's either going to be a phone or Skype interview. So let's get into the phone and Skype interview together, and we'll talk about the differences between phone and Skype. Before we even talk about the difference between phone and Skype, let's talk about what you need to do. When you get an interview from a company or organization or a job advertisement, mark your calendar right away. Okay, that's the first thing you need to do. You need to mark your calendar right away. You know, and clear your schedule, make sure that you're available for that time, but put it on your calendar in your kitchen, calendar in your office, put it on your iPhone calendar or your Android calendar or your BlackBerry, whatever smartphone you have, put it on your computer calendar and put reminders all over the place, you know, for a week, a day, depending on how much time you have. I put multiple reminders on me for all my devices so that I actually know and get completely bombarded with these alerts so that I actually figure out a step-by-step process of how I'm going to prepare for this interview, because I start preparing, if I can, as early as possible, like a week or 2 weeks beforehand. You want to check your connection. So this is where we're going to go for the difference between phone and Skype. Now, phone obviously is just audio. Okay, you're speaking to the manager over the phone. They get to hear your reactions to specific questions that they do. They get to hear your answers, but they can't see you. Skype, on the other hand, is through the internet. If you're not familiar, it's a program that you can get on a PC or on a Mac or anywhere. It's an internet program where you can actually speak to people through the internet. Now, there's two types of ways to Skype. One, you can Skype to another person who has Skype on their computer, and it's actually free. You know, that's the benefit of Skype. The other way of getting it is you can call a phone anywhere around the world, and you get a reduced rate. So I've called people in Italy. I've called people in Europe, Australia, anywhere, and I get a reduced rate, you know, of like, it's like 10 cents a minute or something like that. It's really effective, and it's, you know, as long as your Skype connection is good and the other person's Skype connection is good or internet connection is good, you can actually make an effective call. The benefit of Skype is it can enable you to use video or a webcam, so you can actually see the other person on the other line. Now, this is where the real difference comes in between phone and Skype. Like I said before, phone, you only have audio. You can only hear the reactions of a specific answer. The manager can only hear the reaction of a specific answer. And, of course, the candidate can only hear specific tones from each manager, of a panel or even one person. But Skype enables you to view everybody on the call. So you can actually view their mannerisms, you can view their person, you can actually see their facial expressions and reactions to answers or to questions and things like that, depending if you're the manager or you're the employer, you're the candidate. So it's a very effective, it's a great benefit to both sides. And a lot more people are using Skype nowadays, one, because it's free, you know, conference calls and these types of phone calls, which is audio, can get quite expensive. But Skype is free, especially if the other person has Skype. So it makes it a lot better. And you see a lot more people with, you know, how internet is increasing and around the world. You see a lot more people using Skype because the connection is a lot better. So anyway, when you're preparing for an interview like this, you want to check the connections if you're doing a phone interview, check the connections on your phone. If you're doing an internet Skype call, check the connections on your internet. You need to check these a week before, 2 weeks before, things like that. Part of the checking, find out if if it'll be a video conference like in Skype or on Google Chat or whatever. If it's a video call, check the webcam. You want to make sure that the webcam is working. Maybe even have a backup one. So on my MacBook Pro, I have an EyeSight cam that's built into the laptop. If that goes, I have a backup webcam that I can attach quite easily. All I have to do is just plug it into the USB and it attaches, and I can enable it on Skype. Check to make sure that both of those are working. But you always have a backup, which, you know, shows, one, if something goes wrong, you can use that backup. And two, if something goes wrong, or even at the beginning, you can say, I have a backup webcam in case something goes wrong. So if it does, if my video does conk out, I'll put on the webcam and just give me a few moments. And it shows that you're organized and you're prepared for this type of interview. And, you know, I think to a manager, that's quite attractive in a candidate. Now, again, you want to ensure that your webcam is working. Very, very important. Also, test out the calls for Skype. Test out your phone. You know, always test, especially the day of, a couple days before. It's very important. Now we're going to look at the in-person interview. Okay, this one, you know, I prefer, as a candidate, to do an in-person interview. If I have the chance, I will do an in-person interview over a phone interview. Now that really depends on two things. For a first interview, sometimes if it's a nonprofit organization, they may not have, and it's especially a small to medium-sized nonprofit organization, they may not have the funds to fly you in to do an in-person interview. Because managers do prefer that in-person interview, and I prefer as a candidate to go in-person because you get that personal connection. You actually shake their hands, you feel that physical connection, and you know you can look at their mannerisms. It's not over a computer. They can't just cut you off whenever they want. You're in their building, and you can chat with them and things like that, and talk with them and look at the surroundings and look at the different employees, maybe meet a few, and you're able to put yourself in their shoes, and they actually see you physically, and they can like you from there. They can also dislike you, but I kind of think of it that they'll like me more if I'm in person. So sometimes an organization can't afford to pay for you to go there, you know, to do the in-person interview. And that could be limiting because if it's something that's far away or it's expensive to get to, you may not be able to go, you know, to the in-person interview. You may have to do a phone interview, which is fine. If it's cheap to go, I had an interview in New York one time. I live in Toronto. I had an interview in New York one time, and they didn't have the funds to fly me in, but I decided I want to go. So, you know, the flight from Toronto to New York is not that expensive. I did the flight. Everything worked out fine. I did actually get the offer, but it didn't pay enough to live in, you know, Manhattan. But anyway, I digress. The in-person interview actually worked out a lot better because I got to spend a lot more time there. I got a tour of the facility, and, you know, I benefited from that. So, in-person interview, always better, in my opinion. If you can go, that's great. Sometimes companies will be able to fly you in. That's even better. That just goes to show how much they value the candidates and want you to, you know, want to meet you in person. But again, when you first get that call for the in-person interview, mark your calendar. And when you mark your calendar, clear your schedule. Okay, when you start applying for jobs and things like that, you should be thinking in advance. You probably shouldn't be going on any kind of vacations anytime soon, because if you do get a call, it might be last minute, or it might be, you know, 3 months down the road or 2 weeks down the road. But you got to be able to clear your schedule quickly so you can do that in-person interview. And you got to remember, you might be gone for a week, you might be gone for a couple of days, you might be gone overnight. All depends where you're going, how long it takes you to get there, and how long they want you in that in-person interview. So clear your schedule, mark your calendar again, update your calendar for alerts and things like that. Works kind of for both interviews, except you have to clear your schedule. Make plans for the trip/appointment. Okay. Now, if the company is paying for you to come down, they're probably going to make the arrangements, the flight arrangements, the hotel arrangements and things like that. If they're not, you have to make the arrangements. Excuse me. You have to make the arrangements, and you should do so quickly. Okay. As soon as I get the call, say, "Hey, would you like to come for an in-person interview? We can't afford to give it to you. We can't afford to pay for it, but we'd like you to come down anyway. Would you be interested in doing this kind of interview? You say, yes, I will make the preparations and I will send you the confirmations as soon as I get them to tell you when I'm coming in and when I can arrange it in the soonest time I can get there. That's, you know, economical. Usually you pound out a date, you know, the next week, especially if you're traveling from afar. So once you make those plans, you've planned the flight, the hotel, you send the confirmations, say this is the time I'm going to be there, I have this amount of time. You know, if you're flying out the next day, that's fine. You can send them the confirmation of when you're flying out, and you can go from there. And what that does, that shows the manager, you know, when you send that confirmation right away, shows the manager two things. It shows, one, that you're organized to make these arrangements yourself, and you've done it in a pretty quick and effective manner. Two, you are excited for the job interview. You know, you've made it quickly, and you're like, hey, I'm going to be there as soon as I can. Here are the dates. Boom. You're excited to be there. You've sent an email saying, hey, I'm excited to meet you and meet everybody at the organization, and then you go from there. Once you get, if you're local or you have to get there, once you get into the place or you're close to the meeting place, say the night before, or you are, you know, you live in the city or you live in the town, and you want to go, and what you want to do is the night before is you make a practice run to the interview place. I prefer to do it, if I can, at the same time the day before as my meeting place. So if it's 9:30 a.m., you know, on a Thursday, on Wednesday, I'm going to go to the meeting place at 9:30 a.m. Just hang outside, just to see how hard it is to get there, any setbacks that I might encounter, if there's construction in a certain place, or if my GPS doesn't read a specific road properly, or something like that. There's always something that could come up. There's no reason you want to be late, so you want to try and test that road out as much as possible and get to the meeting place before you go. And the day of the interview, arrive 30 minutes before the interview, but do not go into the meeting place. Wait until about 5 minutes before you can go in, or 5 minutes before the interview before you go in. I always go in 5 minutes. I arrive 30 minutes. I go get maybe a muffin or a coffee or something like that. 5 minutes to the interview, I go in, present myself, meet the people, and then you wait. And I do this because I used to actually go into the meeting place 30 minutes beforehand. People used to tell me 15 minutes. And I used to be like, well, I'm going to go 30 minutes to show that I'm really excited to be there. Well, when you go 30 minutes, you arrive, you check in, they say, oh, well, they're not ready for you yet. You're like, yeah, I know I'm a little bit early. I just want to get here as early as possible. They're like, okay, have a seat. Then all of a sudden, you're there for 30 minutes. And you're twiddling your thumbs. You know, or you're on your smartphone. Or you're reviewing notes or something. But you're there for 30 minutes. And like I said, when you're there, you're on point. They could be, you know, the managers could be watching you. The receptionist could be watching you. You know, seeing how you handle, you know, not being busy for a little bit. You know, so it can actually hinder you. And the other thing is, it could make the people uncomfortable that you're there 30 minutes beforehand. So you have to think about those things. So even if you go 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes beforehand, just show up before the interview happens. But don't show up too much in advance. I usually just hang out at a coffee shop close by, and then I go, you know, I leave with 10 minutes left and I arrive with about 5 minutes beforehand. Always makes a safe bet. So that's for the in-person, that's the preparation for the in-person interview. Not much to it, but certain things that I think you should do. And you know, these are things that could be crucial to your interview. Now, we've gone through how to prepare for a phone interview or a Skype interview. We've gone through how to prepare for the in-person interview. But there's also preparation that you have to do on research on the actual company. Okay, so you want to find out everything you can about the company, organization, or government department to which you're applying. Okay, because when you're in that interview, you want to know everything on the websites, everything on the articles that have been published on it, on the internet and on the primary journals if you're a scientist, or wherever, social media. You want to know the staff. You want to know everything. Okay, you want to know as much as possible about these organizations. Okay, then what you want to do is you want to write the important parts down. So, for instance, you want to memorize some of the things. As an example, I applied to a Canadian government job and I got an interview last year. I ended up getting the job. But what they asked me in one of the exams, which is interview format, which we're going to go through in a bit, what they asked me was they wanted me to memorize the mandate the mission and the vision for that government department. Now, when you first see that, you're like, you know, you see it in the job advertisement. It was in the job advertisement that they had to say, you know, you should know the mandate, the mission, and the vision for this government department. And you're just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's on the website. I'll just read it before I go in. But you have to memorize that. Because after the interview was done, the oral part of the interview, the question and answer part, I actually had to do an exam. The question was, mission, vision, mandate, state them for this government department. So there's certain things that you have to know beforehand. And especially if it says in the original job advertisement, you will have to know it at some point. They're going to ask you because there's a reason why they put it down. So make sure you know those important parts and write them down, memorize them before you go into the interview process. Write down some notes or something like that because that's going to be important. Let's continue on with the research. So again, you want, not only do you want to research the company, you want to research the position. You want to know what are the responsibilities. And yes, they're going to say the responsibilities in the job advertisement, but you want to know deep down what are the responsibilities and how does it actually affect the job that I'll be working for, the company. How does it relate to the company that I'm going to be working for? You know, you want to know what skills do I need for this position. Again, you're looking at the job advertisement, but you're also looking at the organization or company and seeing how those two relate, the skills, responsibilities, and what the actual functions are, what the actual products are of the company. And then you want to know if your values and career goals actually match their mission, because that's going to help. Because especially if you're interviewing for a nonprofit, that actually comes into mind. And that's actually usually a question, is like, what are your goals? What are your values, you know, for your career? And do you think they match our mission? And they should, you know, or at least a little bit of it should, because they're going to say, well, how much do you care? You know, if your values and your career goals match our mission, you actually care about our company or our organization and you'll work harder. So they want to know that. And of course, you want to know what other similar positions do in other companies and organizations, even in other industries. So for instance, I applied recently for a program manager. I've never really been a program manager. I looked at the responsibilities and I've done those responsibilities in other positions, but I've never had the title program manager. So what I did is I looked at other program manager positions. I looked at other company websites. I looked at, you know, friends that had program managers in their title and things like that. And I asked them questions, or I looked them up and wrote down the responsibilities, the duties, and actually what they did, what kind of projects they were in charge of and what the responsibilities were and things like that. So I knew from the program manager position that I was applying for what was expected of me. And even though it said a little bit in the job advertisement, it didn't say everything. And I actually benefited from the interview. I didn't get the job. You know, I'm going to be full discretion here. I didn't get the job, but, you know, I felt confident in the interview going in that I knew everything about what that program manager title meant, especially in other industries. It's very important. I find it's very important. Now, let's go through the interview formats. I've mentioned certain ones, you know, the exams and things like that, but let's go through interview formats. Now, the traditional interview format is essentially one panel of about 3 to 4 managers asking you questions. And that could be a little intimidating when you first get in. The government job that I got a year ago, you know, there were 3 people, 3 managers, and then there was me. And they just kind of rotate through questions, and they asked me questions and things like that. And they were very nice about it, but it still was intimidating to get 3 people who are experts in their field asking you questions on that, you know, on those fields. And it can be intimidating, but it's not that intimidating. Be like I said, be confident. You know, we're going to go through the behavior in a minute, but be confident with your answers because you've done the research beforehand, so you know these answers, especially if you qualify for the position. Here are some other formats. I'll talk briefly about them. And these are formats that I've actually encountered in recent years, and I've actually heard of other people encountering them as well, and they're getting more and more popular with managers. The first one is you have to do a presentation for the interview. Now, I had to do a presentation when I applied for a GIS analyst position, which is a very technical position, at the Nature Conservancy in Seattle. The presentation had to be on a project that I've worked on in the past, and I was presenting it not only to the panel people, the managers, but I had to do it. I had to present it in front of non-scientists, marketers, fundraisers, the receptionists, some admin assistants, and things like that. And I found, you know, it quite profound. It was a little intimidating at first, but then you realize it's just a presentation that you're giving at a conference. People are generally interested. The managers are looking for how you communicate, again, your point across to other people, and especially to a diverse audience. Because especially if you're going to like a, if you're working with a nonprofit organization like TNC, the Nature Conservancy, their audience is very broad. Their members are very, like the professional backgrounds are very broad. They may not understand everything you say, and you have to be able to communicate that to people who may not understand certain techniques that you use or mathematical equations that you use. So you have to be able to present that to everybody, and they look for that kind of thing. So presentations are important. You see them more often than not nowadays, and I think it's a kind of a fun thing to do. If you don't have a project that's something on the side, try and get one, and we'll talk about that in future years and future presentations, but try and get a volunteer job or something like that where you can do a presentation. Second format, exams. I mentioned this earlier. Governments love to do exams because they have to do exams. They have to screen people out all the same way, and what better way to do is how well you do on an exam. Now, traditionally, I've never really done that well on exams, but these exams are not the exams that you've faced in high school or university. These exams are to evaluate how well you can do certain tasks in, you know, for the position. So they're not as intense as you might think. You still have to study for them. Some exams are for certain companies, but most of the time they're not that bad if you qualify for the position. You will know from initial exams if you qualify for the position or not. Say you get by the first screening process with the Canadian government, there's a screening process. You know, with your application, if you get by that, they ask you to do exams. It's another screening process. If right away you'll know if you qualify for this position based on if you can answer that question or not easily, because they only give you about 20 to 30 minutes to complete the exam. So, you know, you want to make sure you know your stuff. So you'll know if you qualify for the exam or not, or for the position based on the exam questions. Now, of course, we mentioned the Skype interview. It is becoming more and more popular. Essentially because the internet is so huge that people from all over the world are applying for positions. And, you know, managers may identify a great person outside the country, and a Skype interview is the best way to actually evaluate that person, especially for a first interview. Usually the second interview tends to be an in-person interview, but, you know, the first interview, a Skype interview is even better. And you got the multiple panel interview. Now, again, I encountered this applying for the Nature Conservancy position. So it was a full day interview, which was kind of interesting, where I had to do a presentation in the morning to, you know, a wide ranging audience, professional background audience. Then I had a bit of a break. Then I went to my first panel, about two people that asked me technical GIS questions. I had a lunch break. Then I had a longer panel meeting with the directors of the company or of that office. So, you know, multiple panel interview, you know, they'll put together specialists for one panel, and then maybe managers for another panel or directors for another panel. And you might go through two or three of these depending on how many interviews you do. You might meet multiple people in the organization. And for the manager side, it gives them basically various aspects on how people, or various points of view on how people see the candidate. So, you know, if you have more than one panel, so not just having the managers, but you have other, you know, say the technicians for me for GIS, they're actually, you know, they're going to be working with you. So if they can get along with you during the panel and they know that you know your stuff, they feel better about it. You know, the managers feel better about working with the existing team. You know, same thing with the managers. So multiple panel interviews, they can be, again, intimidating, but quite effective for managers and candidates, because you get to see who you're working. You get to meet more of the people and know the organization or the company even more. So I think that's a great attribute. Now the final is the role play interview. Now this, I know, sounds a little weird, a lot of, you know, kind of funny, but I've actually had to encounter this. And I'm not a role play kind of guy. I don't like charades. I don't like Cranium and things like that, like those kind of board games where you have to go up and you have to do certain acts and things like that. But the role play interview, again, I've heard more and more people having to do this. And what it does for the managers is I'll give you a breakdown of what the role play is. Essentially, you get a scenario. Like I got a scenario. I was applying for a marine conservation manager position. I'm not gonna say who it was for, but I got the scenario where I had to do a policy brief, and then hand it in before the interview, and then I had to actually act it out like I was speaking to a politician that was in charge, like a minister of some sort, on the scenario, and I had to convince that person to, to accommodate the scenario. So I did it. It was about a 10-minute role play, but I did a lot of research behind it because I've never really done a policy brief before, or I had never really spoken to politicians before. So I had to practice that. I had to talk to some people and practice the role play interview. It went 10 minutes. It actually went better than I thought it did. Again, I didn't get the position, but it wasn't my fault. They weren't hiring anybody at the time. They didn't get the funding that they needed. But a role play interview, after I did it, I can see why they wanted to do it, because the managers get to see how you're going to handle a situation. Now, in my situation, my example, or my scenario, it was a very high-pressure, intense moment. I only had 10 minutes to speak to a politician, and I had to get my point across very quickly and effectively, so that the manager would act, or that the politician would actually say, okay, I'll review it and go forth. There was no real output that they were expecting. They were just seeing how well I could do it. They put me a little under pressure where the politician kept saying, I got to leave, I got to go. And I kept, and I had to keep probing and things like that. But, after it, I can see how managers like to use the role play. So don't be, don't be shy. You have to be very confident when you do it. But don't be surprised if you see that you have to do a role play for an interview. So those are the basic interview formats that I've come across, and I've heard of other people coming across more and more. So definitely get used to it and prepare for these types of interviews, or at least kind of get your thoughts going on these type of formats, interview formats. Now, behavior in an interview. Now, when you see that title, you're probably like, okay, he's going to tell me exactly how to behave in an interview. I'm not going to tell you that. What I am going to tell you is be calm, cool, and collective. Okay, you just want to really be yourself in an interview. Don't be someone who's not. Don't be nervous. Don't stutter over your words. Be confident in what you know, because you've rehearsed everything. You've actually gone through the research and things like that. Be yourself. That's what they're evaluating you on. If they don't like you for yourself, you don't want to be with that company or organization. Be confident in the work that you've done in the past. Be confident about your CV. Okay, you want to take positive points out of everything that you've done, and you want to give it to them. Okay, managers like to see that positivity come through and that confidence come through. You want to practice your answers in front of a mirror. So there's going to be certain types of questions that they're going to ask, and a lot of interviews ask the same questions. Some examples of questions is, that I've encountered in multiple interviews is, tell me about a scenario that you've been in where something went wrong and how you fixed it. Pretty simple thing. Practice those stories, and make them believe, obviously you have to make them believable because they're true, but make them enticing, make them interesting. Make the people be like, oh, wow, that's a pretty effective way of overcoming or troubleshooting these kind of problems. But practice it in front of a mirror so you can look at your facial expressions, and you can, you can look at your voice and how it goes up and down, and try and smile as you're saying it in certain types. Like, make it interesting for the managers to keep kind of on the edge of their seat and keep listening to what you've been saying. Also, rehearse your answers in front of a friend. I always like doing that. I like talking out my answers, because every time I say an answer, I get better and better at it the next time. And a friend will tell me will call me out on it. Oh, that answer's crap. Don't say that. Maybe you should say it this way. Or you didn't seem confident when you said that. Or your eyebrows were up the entire time when you actually said that, and it shouldn't have been. Get a friend that's actually going to tell you the truth. Okay? Because if they're just going to agree with everything you say, that means they're really not listening. Because there's always ways to improve how you answer a question. So go through and talk to your friends about it. It's very interesting, and the answers that you'll get. And also talk about the job to your friends and family, or really to anybody that you can. I find talking about a job, even if I talk about a project, but especially talking about a job I'm about to interview for, a lot of the times they'll be like, oh, you know, what's the job about? And I'll be like, well, I don't really know. You know, I know the job advertisement, but I don't really know how to put it in words. You know, and think about if a manager asked you, what do you expect to get out of this position? Or what do you expect to do in this position? That's the first question they ask. That'd be a great question to ask. That puts you right on the spot. And you may just say, oh, you may just start ripping off the duties and responsibilities that's in the job advertisement. But they don't want to see that. They want to see that you've actually thought about it, that you've actually talked it out, and you actually have an answer that makes sense. So you want to talk to the job, talk about the job to family and friends, because you can, the more you talk about it, the better it sounds, the more you actually think about the words that are coming out of your mouth, and that they actually make sense, and that you're actually saying what's real. You know, you're not just, you know, spitting off the responsibilities and the duties that you see on the job advertisement. You're actually putting those responsibilities and duties and what the company actually does, you know, that you've done your research with, and you're putting them together, and you're actually putting that together. That will make you that much better in the interview when you answer questions. So talk about the job with your family and friends. And finally, when you're in the interview, ask questions, okay? It shows that you're curious about the job. Now, I've had times where people, the managers at the end of the interview would be like, okay, so do you have any questions about the position? And I've actually said, and I actually felt bad to ask questions. I had questions, but I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to seem like I was a burden on the managers. And I actually said, no, I don't really have any questions at this time. And there was an awkward moment after that. And I've done it before. Like, I've done it more than once. And there's an awkward moment after each time because they almost expect you to ask questions. You know, and you can ask, you don't have to ask questions about the logistics of the job or the pay or anything like that. You can ask questions about, like, projects that they've done, how they handle it, where they expect to be in 5-10 years, how do they, expect to impact, say, ocean conservation. You know, or, like you can ask your government, how do the politics actually influence what we do, you know, from a department level? Things like that, that shows that you're actually thinking about just more than your position. You're thinking about the broader spectrum of the company or the organization or the government department, and how, you know, ask a question of how do I impact the team or the organization? How does my position impact? Like what is so important about this job, or things like that. Start a conversation, ask questions. Even if you think they sound stupid, ask them anyway, okay? Because at least you're showing that you're interested in the position and you're asking more questions because you have questions. So that's the behavior that you want to be in the interview. And I'm not going to say, other than that, I'm not going to say specifics. You know, I'm not going to say how to dress, things like that. You know how to dress for interviews. You know, if you're a scientist, you probably don't have to wear a suit and tie. Never hurts. But if you're going for like a nonprofit organization, you probably don't have to wear, you know, always dressy, things like that. You should know that based on the organization and things like that. You should know how to behave in public and social times. All I can say is be yourself in an interview, because that's what the managers want you to be. And if they don't like you because you're yourself and they want somebody else, that's fine. You don't want to be with a company like that. So this is how I think you should behave in an interview, and it's very general, yes, but it'll still provide you with the tips that might help you. Now, after the interviews, or as the interview is coming to an end, you want to ask a specific question if it hasn't already been asked. You want to, you know, tell them your availability. So normally at the end of a question, at the end of an interview, they'll say, we expect to hire by a certain date, say March 8th or whatever. Okay, so if they expect to hire March 8th, you have to say, well, I'm either available then or before that, or I'm available because of a current contract, I'm not available till the 15th, or things like that. You should be able to tell them your availability before you go into the interview. Okay, and you want to ask them because it shows that you're excited to start the interview, especially if you have the flexibility to start whenever. I've told people that I could start in a week. I never tell them that I could start the next day. That's too excited, too much. I always say I can start within a week, or I can start within 2 weeks, things like that. You know, and to show that you are excited about the job, but you're actually thinking practical about you know, about your start date. And you got to think, if you start the next day, they're not ready to, for you to start the next day unless they're in a real jam, which I've actually been. You know, that was my first job out of university where I called. They did an interview, and they asked me to come down like 2 days later because they were short of staff. So, but most of the time, it doesn't really work out that way. Now, after the interview, like, again, at the end of an interview, you want to find out when they're going to make a decision. Because if you don't, I've had the mishap of not asking when they're going to make a decision, and they don't make it till like a month and a half later. Here I am out of a job waiting for a decision, and they haven't made a decision till a month and a half later. And if it's not a decision that's in my favor, and I've been waiting for a month and a half, not doing any other interviews or things like that because I put all my eggs in one basket. But if I had asked beforehand, they said, well, you know, we have to do other things before we can hire, and it won't be for another month. I could relax. You know, I don't think I, you know, you don't go through the emotional ups and downs saying, well, they're not going to hire me anyway because it's been too long and things like that. So, you know, find out when they're going to make a decision. It'll help you emotionally with your stress levels, and plus you can make better decisions on applying to other jobs and things like that. Now, after the interview's done, you know, weeks gone by, 2 weeks gone by, give them a call or an email 2 weeks after the interview, but make it casual. You know, you could, I've done things like I've sent them usually I send them an email where I've sent them an email saying, you know, based on our conversation that we've had and on, especially on this issue, say it was, you know, plastic pollution or something like that. I found an article I thought you'd be interested in. Here it is, it's attached. And then, oh, by the way, have you made a decision yet? Or how's the decision coming on the interview? You can do that. Or you can send the email saying, here's an article that I thought you'd be interested in. And then a follow-up email after that saying, by the way, you know, or how'd you like that article? And have you made a decision yet on the position? Make it pretty casual, short, not a long email. They know why you're emailing. Okay, they know. There's no way of sort of hiding it or anything like that. So make sure you follow up. I always follow up, no matter what, especially after an interview. You got to follow up. So that's it for the interview module. And that's the last module of this course. So congratulations, you've gone through the first time of this course. And like I said at the beginning of this module, do not go through it just once and then stop going through it again. You've paid for this program, spend the time. This is an investment into your future. Go over certain modules, go over all of them again. You know, go through them more than once. You've got PowerPoint presentations that are available to you that you can go offline. You've got the audio so you can put it in your as a podcast or something like that. You've got everything there for you. I've given you all the information that I know that will help you get closer to your dream job and your dream career. So take advantage of it. Go through it more than once and so forth. But that's the end of Module 12, the end of the interview module. I will see you in the next video for the final comments. And good luck. And I hope you go through this, and I hope you get as much information as you can from this. Talk to you later.